Our Bible lesson for this morning is the very last portion of Jesus' explanation to the parable of the sower, and you have it printed for you from Luke 8, 14, 15. The seed that fell among thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. But the seed on good soil stands for those with a noble and good heart, who hear the word, retain it, and by persevering, produce a crop. This is the word of our Lord. About 30 years ago, I was losing the hearing in one of my ears. My favorite question was, "What did you say?" During Bible class, I couldn't hear people. We lived in a two-story house, and I couldn't hear the chimes down in the living room. So Dr. Winter, who turned out to be a pretty good friend of mine and a resource, he said, "I think." When a doctor says, "I think," you pause a little bit, but that's what they do. "I think your bone has solidified. I don't know, but in order to know, I've got to put you to sleep and go and look, and I have remedy for you. The anvil and the stirrup and the hammer, those are novice terms that I use. The littlest bones in the ear, they need to vibrate. That's how they work. That's God's design." So I signed off, and I allowed him to do his thing, and he brought my hearing back. A blessing, isn't it? Just a great blessing, one of the senses that God gives to us. Jesus says at the end of this parable, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Now those words take us to the point of what Jesus wants us to gather from this common parable of the sower. He's not talking about hearing this way, but hearing inside, faith, belief. And we all know that that is God's good work in us and among us through the message of Christ. Let me just go through the parable real quickly until I get to our point today. Jesus talks about different soil. He talks about hard soil, that on the path, concrete, pavement, if you will. That's how we come into this world. We know more than God. We don't need to hear from God. That's wrong, isn't it? On both accounts, but that's our wicked, perverse nature. Then Jesus talks about the rocky soil. Those who do hear, those who do believe, but then they conclude, "I know enough the Word of God. I've heard enough from God. I don't need to hear anymore. I don't really need to stay active and connected with him." No footing, no foundation. That too is a tragic mistake. And then Jesus talks about weedy soil. That's where many of us are. Even though we don't like to think about that, or admit that, or realize that. That type of soil has all kinds of competitors, messages, messengers, where we in our weakness say, "There's really got to be more than the Word of God in this day, in this age. I've heard that old message of Jesus and his cross enough, and so there has to be something more exciting, filled with glitter for me to send me on my way. There are days when we put Jesus and our relationship with him on the shelf. We think we're fine. We've got enough of him, enough of his food to survive. But meanwhile, all these weeds and temptations and distractions, they're attacking our faith. Then Jesus speaks about the good soil. That's what we've become. That's God's action in our life. I've already said we come into this world as hard, rebellious, defiant soil. And so God is the one who causes us to be good soil. What does that mean, to be a part of the good soil? Well, just in short, it means living a life of repentance and faith. It means living in our baptismal covenant, being sloshed around in the water of promise, the very blood of Jesus, cleansing, forgiving sin, and being raised anew day by day in the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ, actually participating in that, living a life of faith. Now, being in the good soil means that we need to be turned and tilled. And so there are days and times and moments in our lives when God needs to club us. He needs to hit us right in the heart and in the head in order to get our attention and make us realize, once again, who we really are. I invite you to raise your hand if you're among those who just this day has not lied, cheated, coveted, lusted. Use your tongue to set a fire ablaze. If anyone would dare raise his or her hand, you would be among what some would say the noble ones. But you've come to learn, as being in God's good soil, that he has rescued and ransomed us from sin's curse. He clubs us so that we might come to him not deserving, not saying we're privileged or worthy, but that mercy is our only plea. Lord, have mercy upon us. And he does. He demonstrated that in his son. He sends his very best, his own dear son, clothed in human flesh, the celebration of the ages, every single Christmas, that God himself would come and tent among his people. It is through Jesus that our sins are erased. When you erase the board, there are traces left. When you erase your computer, there are traces left. There's history there. When God erases our sins through the merits of his Son, no trace. Trace. Forgiven, forgotten, atoned, absolved. Justified, blessed, favored, restored. Who doesn't want to hear that over and over and over again? In the good soil have open mouths, open hearts, open hands, so that they can receive and drink deeply, establishing a good foundation. And then what do we see? Fruit. that God established beforehand that his people would produce. Today we are privileged to see wonderful fruit. You see their names on the backside of your folder today. There's no boasting from these folks. You won't hear a word from them. But you'll rightly hear a word from us. We rightly honor these individuals because their fruit, produced by God through faith in their hearts, honors God and serves you and many others. What fruit will you see this day? You'll see a caring heart, one not so concerned about self, but about the student that comes day by day. You'll see a disciplined instructor with an instructive tongue. You'll see folks here who pray, not just for themselves and for the church, but also for the students. You'll see fruit about the one thing needful, not only for themselves, but they want to make sure that the students who come before them know that as well. You'll see feet that are tired from walking the extra mile, and hands that are worn out of diligent duty. You know these people far better than I do. I know a few. You see their fruit every single day. And you thank God for that, and rightly so, and we honor them this day. Good soil. What a privilege that is to be good soil. Hearing the word, holding it in a good and honest heart, and bearing fruit with patience. Amen. Please stand as we pray. Over the weekend, our brother Raymond Schmeling passed away. He is the father of President Galen Schmeling, grandfather of Tim on staff here, and so we pray. Father in heaven, Lord of life, we thank and praise you for having granted your servant Raymond the knowledge of your grace in this time of sadness. Be with the members of his family who mourn and comfort them with the hope of the glorious resurrection of your saints in the mansions above. Teach all of us to number our days rightly, so that we may gain hearts of wisdom through your holy word and remain the good soil that you have made us. Keep us close to our Redeemer, who has won for us life and salvation. We ask this in Jesus' name, who has also taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn 228.
Thank you. Our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. Amen. You may be seated.
A warm good morning to all of you, and a special thanks to Pastor Eckhoff for a fine message this morning. And we'd like to continue that theme a little bit with a special recognition of those that we are celebrating anniversaries of service here at Bethany this morning. Each academic year at this time, we do pause to recognize faculty and staff who are observing milestone anniversaries in service at the college. Being an employee of Bethany is way more than just a job. Whether faculty or staff, serving at Bethany is a calling into a vocation by God Himself. Thus, those at Bethany who serve are not only skilled in what they do, but are uniquely faithful to their calling and dedicated in their service to this ministry, whose purpose is just what our namesake, Bethany, means. That being to connect students to Christ and to prepare them for lives of Christian service. This morning we have a unique list of 13 faculty and staff observing anniversaries of 10, 15, 20, 25, and 35 years of service to the college. Their service adds up to 245 years of faithful service here at Bethany. We thank Jesus for their God-given gifts and their service to this college. On behalf of everyone at Bethany, I'm confident that we all concur that we are honored to serve beside each of them. One at a time, I'm going to read the name of each, indicating their area and years of service. Each will be receiving a certificate from our Board of Regents Chairman, Pastor Hunter Cook, and an honorarium to show our appreciation. I ask that we hold our applause until the entire group has been recognized. Balgi, piano instructor, 10 years. Wilson, assistant professor, communication, 10 years. Joe Starkson, registrar, 10 years. Jonathan Logging, assistant professor, communication, 15 years. Associate professor, art, 15 years. Fredrickson, adjunct faculty, music, 20 years. Adrian Lowe, associate professor, music, 20 years. Laura Matsky, voice and organ instructor, 25 years. Shoup, professor of business, 35 years. Mark Weekman, associate professor, psychology, 35 years. Also observing milestone anniversaries, but unable to join us this morning, Jonathan Moeller, information technology specialist, 10 years. Ellen Barcher, computer systems specialist, 15 years. And Tatiana Durand, adjunct faculty, Spanish, 25 years. At this time, I will now call on seminary professor Galen Schmeling to make a seminary presentation.
After the seminary, we would like to recognize Professor Adolf Harstead, Adie Harstead, and at this point, I'm going to do this first. this first. We are recognizing him for 25 years. Not only does he teach Old Testament as it is written here, but he teaches homiletics, he teaches history, he teaches practical courses and a variety of other things. And he's best at Hebrew. He has distinguished himself as a great author. He's produced two excellent commentaries on the book of Joshua, and he's just completed another massive tome on the book of Deuteronomy. It is the definitive thing on Deuteronomy. And these things are wonderful blessings to confessional Lutheranism.
Thank you. Thank you. Congratulations to you.
Play the guitar, I just remembered.
Okay, yeah, we can picture it. Yeah, thank you.